Coming to you from a basement in Colorado, these two childhood best friends try to expand their horizons by experiencing the best in art, music, movies, literature, and experiences. These cultural pearls might get trampled in the process, but at least the pigs are going to be happy. This is the Swine Before Pearls podcast with Joel and Trent.
Ho, 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 my guy.
Do you hear the bells a-jingling?
Oh, boy, do I.
Woo, it's Swine Before Pearls Christmas special. Two weeks early.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. What do you want for Christmas, Joel?
I want a pony. I also want my dad to love me. Just kidding.
Now I can't. Now I can't make a sad joke because you just took the sad joke sort of vibe from me.
I just pushed it away.
Okay.
No, what do you actually want for Christmas?
What do I actually want for Christmas?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about asking my mom for vinyls. So, hey, mom, can I have vinyls for Christmas?
It's kind of funny when you get older in Christmas. And like Christmas is like, gift card's good.
Yeah. My mom's probably going to get me some funny socks. I don't know if I'll be able to get it. I'm wearing Christmas socks today.
Oh, dang.
They got Santa on them going down a chimney.
Dude, I'm wearing.
You're wearing socks.
Look how
socks.
Gross these are.
Those are these socks are... that this man's been working in.
This used to be gray, like a light gray.
I remember.
Yeah. So I had the scammer lady just call me, and she asked me if I was a homeowner.
Oh.
I mean, look at me.
No.
I don't think so.
She should have video called you. That would have solved the problem real quick.
I was like, yeah, I'm in an underpass right now. And she's like, I'm so sorry. God bless and have a good day. I was like, thanks. But yeah, it's Christmas. Ho, 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 my guy.
We'd made it.
Yeah. We made it to another Christmas. The trees are treeing. The mistletoe is mistletoeing.
Yeah, and it felt really weird watching the Christmas movie because we watched them in advance. I don't know. My first watching was a month in advance. I don't know when yours was.
Oh, no, mine was a couple weeks ago. So
okay. Mine was far out. I was not in the Christmas spirit yet.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it is kind of trippy to watch a Christmas movie, but so we're reviewing, by the way, It's a Wonderful Life today.
It's like number 24 on IMDb.
Number 24. It's actually like not like a Christmas heavy film. No, so I actually didn't think it was that weird.
It just takes place like during Christmas for part of it, and it has like some Christmassy elements.
Yeah.
But it's become like a little bit of a Christmas tradition.
Yeah. Was it ever a Christmas tradition for you to watch this movie?
No, I saw it at the ripe age of like 21.
Well, man,
when did you first see this movie, Joel?
Just the first time I watched it recently.
just last week.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is one of those classics that I never really got around to it. I'm a big Muppets Christmas Carol guy when it comes to Christmas traditions. I mean, like, if we're talking real classics.
Well, the whole point of this show is that we haven't seen the classics.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm perfectly.
I'm ruining this show by having seen this
Yeah,
movie.
You are. You've already read and seen a lot of this.
Yeah. Well, I'm like 50-50 on a lot of this.
And it's like Catcher in the Rye. I don't know. I was homeschooled. I didn't have to read books.
Yeah, So a lot of people are confused by the title of our podcast, Swine Before Pearls. It's actually singular. It's just talking about you, Joel.
Yeah. Just swine.
Yeah.
Just swine and...
Swine and Trent before pearls.
Swine and Trent before pearls.
Okay, let's actually hop into...
Yeah, that sounds good.
...the movie. So what were your kind of impressions about the movie? We'll start there.
Man, I'm such a zoomer. I hate myself a little bit. It was one of those things that it was like, I am not excited to watch this. When the title cards were playing and it's like this like old timey music, and maybe I wasn't in the right environment or with the right people to watch it. I was just kind of like by myself in my RV. But it was...
That's not the right vibe.
Yeah, but it was just like, okay, this is... like, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to give it a fair shot. This is going to be, you know, like, it's going to be a little work because I got to kind of focus on long scenes that are probably really dialogue, like a lot of dialogue and stuff. But then I was immediately interested in it because there's this old alcoholic dude that runs a shop and he almost poisons a kid. And I was like, he's just beating the snot out of this other kid. And I was like, hey, this is kind of good. Like, look, the kid's bleeding out of his ear. I love it. Like, I don't know what this has to do with Christmas. I was like trying to follow along and I was like, this is great. So, you know, I think once I was also a little sleep deprived when I watched it, which I kind of wanted to be because I think you do your best viewings of things when you're like your brain's not 100% on.
You and me watch movies very differently.
Ah, dude. I want to be nice and toasty up in my brain. but I think over as the movie progresses, it's a 2-hour movie. It's a good length for a movie. I think as it goes along, it really warms up and it gets good and it flows pretty well. And I think once I had kind of mentally committed that, okay, I'm here, I'm going to enjoy this, I think I was able to kind of like blow my way through. Also, there's this chick in there. Her name's Violet.
Oh, you down with Violet?
Dude, Violet is a babe. Can we talk about this? Dude,
no, Violet would not have been about you.
What are you talking about? Dude, oh, yeah, because yeah, the whole...
Yeah,
the
he's
whole,
like, well, I want to go on adventures with you. Let's run barefoot through the
let's
through
go
the grass.
To a waterfall.
And she's just like... No, are you kidding me?
She just hadn't experienced with psychedelics yet. And
yeah.
So.
Okay, great. But let me tell you, Joel.
She is my vibe.
This movie appeals to the male fantasy. That is specifically for me. All right. It's got everything. It's got my whole dream wrapped up in a nice package. Okay. Because I have this,
off a bridge?
No. Jumping off the bridge to save somebody. No, but I have this dream that I am going to just like have a pretty good day. Just like energy's building up. I'm like interacting with people close to me and just having a great time. And then I go to the dance.
Oh,
and then I find this pretty girl and we dance together. And then we hang out afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's my ultimate fantasy.
That is your... You've told me multiple times that you want that will they, won't they dance scenario as your ultimate fantasy.
And the movie has it.
But the thing is, they already kind of knew each other.
Yeah.
So that's not as true. Because you want to dance with a total stranger. Like, you want some chick crawling out from the cracks of the earth and then you don't know who she is. You don't know how this is going to go. She might steal your kidney.
I wouldn't mind some rapport between me and her. That'd be okay.
It's helpful.
Yeah. Then we could talk and we could chill. And, you know, I will say my fantasy does not include being kind of a perv and stealing her bathrobe. That is not in the fantasy.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird scene.
There's some stuff in that movie that just ages a little bit weird. I remember watching that and I was like, this is a little...
Give her back the bathrobe.
Maybe give the poor lady's in a bush and she's got nothing on and you're holding a bathrobe. And it's like, this is a family movie.
Calm down, Skeevy George.
This is a family movie.
Yeah, you just...
Now, if Violet was in there, we'll have a different conversation. So that's my girl. I could fix her.
Oh, that's what this is about.
I could fix Violet.
Dude, I'll get Mary, you get Violet. Let's travel back in time, find those actresses.
My favorite Violet is alternate universe Violet, where she's getting arrested by the cops and she's screaming. Like, it's like, yeah, that's my girl. Like, ride or die. Let's go.
That's kind of weird.
I know.
Yeah. This... No, Violet would not go for you, Joel.
I could fix her.
Okay, you could. By fix her, you mean make her into a really trashy, dumpy girl.
Wasn't that the whole point of her in the movie, though? Wasn't she supposed to be the loose one?
But she wasn't your sort.
She wasn't your kind of trashy, Joel.
I mean, she
was 1930s trashy.
She had a very she pretended to be very classy.
Very classy.
And then she like, oh, I only wear this dress when I don't care what I look like. Like, is that your sort of girl?
I'm kind of a shill, so I'll be anything you want.
As long as she's pretty.
I'll change everything about myself if I have to. Oh, man. No, but that, women aside, it was, okay. There's something I want to talk about.
Okay. What do you want to talk about, Joel? Anything.
So, that bridge, so he was the dude, what's his name? Steve Martin?
George.
So George is like, his life is bottoming out, right? And he's going to jump off this bridge and kill himself on Christmas. Because he's a narcissist and he like really does not care about his kids at all. And, but like that wasn't a very tall bridge and he ends up jumping.
He jumps anyway.
He jumps anyways. And so like, how is he planning on?
I've been trying to piece this out myself.
Yeah.
Right. So my assumption is that like he would intentionally jump in like a weird way that would like mess him up. I don't know.
That would probably happen if you or I were jumping just for fun.
No, I just think like if you jump a little differently, then maybe you can't get back up.
Just doing a gainer. He's just like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the water's cold. Maybe if he just gives up and like lets himself go down the river.
Yeah. I just feel like there could have been a better plot point than. I think that was just like easy and cheap. They could have done a better plot point.
Why didn't you have a more cohesive plot?
You could have gone off to the jungles of Korea. What? I don't know.
Okay, but I think it's kind of interesting. The movie like hits a really interesting premise just like three quarters of the way through the movie. Right? Mm-hmm. Because It like goes off on this wild supernatural tangent of like, you're going to see what the world was like if you never exist.
Yeah.
And like the movie like played around with the idea of God and angels.
Yeah.
But like it was pretty grounded.
Yeah.
Before that. And then it's just like, you're going into sci-fi territory. It's Twilight Zone.
Yeah. I noticed that. I was like, this is. Like, honestly, I think the movie could be shorter. I think there's a lot of setup, and then it's like, and here's 20 minutes to see how your life could have been like. You know, it's like, here's this huge setup for your turning point, and then the turning point's like 20 minutes, and he's like, hey guys, I'm back. I didn't crash my tree into the car. It never happened. Like,
but we need the dance, Joel.
Is that all you care about?
That's all I care about. I'm a simple man.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, but okay. So, if you never were born, what would the world look like?
What would the world look like? Yeah. Well, there'd probably be like this, like terrible podcast that never got started.
Oh yeah.
So
who would have started it, or who would have pretended to start it?
I think Vin Diesel would have picked this up if we hadn't done it.
Me with Vin Diesel.
Trent with Vin Diesel in an alternate universe.
Okay.
You're just sitting across and you're like, so Vin Diesel, what did you think of Catcher in the Rye? And he's just over here like,
well, I liked how fast it was. And when the protagonist.
How furious it was.
I was trying to get there. Vin Diesel's a slow talker and he's kind of a creep, but you guys would have gotten along. So probably Vin Diesel would be running the podcast.
We'd probably be getting more views than you.
Yeah, I'm definitely the dead weight
between you, me, and Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if I had never been born, there would be a lot of like. Really sad people because they'd be like, man, I wish I had this story, this just random anecdote about this really stupid and like really off guy that I met who did something really stupid and really off. And now I don't have that story. So yeah. I have to sit here at my holiday party and talk about the weather. So.
Yeah, I'd be like, I wish that I was doing a podcast with someone who's not called Vin Diesel.
Yeah. What about you? What about your life?
Okay. I don't know. I think, like, I imagine, like, our friend group that we started off with would probably be pretty different.
Hmm.
Because, like, I think I was kind of the one who roped everybody together where a lot of those pieces wouldn't fit. You probably would still have been friends with Fred.
But probably.
That would have been just you two.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have had the whole group.
Yeah. I would just be, I'd just go to community college alone.
Yeah. Imagine that. Lonely Joel at community college.
Just lonely Joel hanging out with his classmate who's like 6'7" football player and also a furry. True yeah. story.
Who would have saved you from a life of debauchery, Joel?
Definitely not you. That yeah. was something I had to learn myself. No, that's yeah, it's a crazy concept, and I don't know. I think that this is kind of an odd Christmas movie, if that makes sense. Like it's a decent movie, but I think
it's almost like Die Hard, like it has Christmas in it.
It has Christmas but it's in not, it. Yeah.
It's not. It doesn't feel as Christmassy. It's not like Elf. Elf is built for Christmas.
Yeah. Are you a big Elf guy?
No. Elf, I empathize with people too much, and when I see him being cringe,
yeah,
I just can't take it.
You cringe too.
I cringe too. It yeah. destroys me.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of this is like I think it's traditions, you know. I think the holiday season is about tradition.
Well, I think this would be kind of a nice family like movie tradition.
I wouldn't watch this you with wouldn't? My family.
I would.
No. No. It's 2 hours long. Throw on the Muppets. Little Timmy doesn't want to sit there and watch this long 1930s movie about a guy who doesn't jump off a bridge properly. You know, like I want him to watch the fuzzy little hand puppets go around and sing their songs, and it's over in an hour, and then we can all go to bed.
Your kids are going to be wild.
Dude. Though.
My kids are going to be, like, nice. They're gonna go to private school. They're gonna
my kids are gonna
they're,
be
they're gonna be well
print.
Disciplined, and I'm not gonna let my kids talk to your kids, Joel. They're gonna be in separate.
What like give me a name for one of your kids.
Robert.
Okay, so little Robert's just like, Papa, do you see that boy over there? And there's just my son. He's just drooling over his cardboard box that we make him wear. He's like, can I go play with him? No, you stay away from Banjo Kennicott. Robert. That's bad news. That whole family's bad news. He's just drooling. He's riding a bike. It's missing a wheel. He's like, I can count to orange. Hey, Robert, you want to put Legos up your nose?
Sorry, son. We have to watch It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Later, we'll read some Marcel Proust.
You're just like, oh, Papa, I love watching It's a Wonderful Life. What if you had never been, like, met Joel, though? And then that we go into our whole backstory, and that's a Christmas movie in itself, where you learn not to be so pretentious, and then I figure out I actually have a son. Oh, that little kid in the cardboard box, huh? Oh, I thought that whippersnapper belonged to somebody. It kept showing up on my doorstep.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we figured this all out.
Oh, yeah. Good to see our Christmas traditions for our families are beginning to form.
Cheers.
Cheers.
What a lovely Christmas.
Oh, man. You're going to have some great Hanukkahs, man.
Yeah. No, George really is like a massive jerk. Like,
do you sympathize with him at all? Because
I do. Here's the deal.
Okay.
Okay. Because the movie kind of feeds my, like, narcissistic tendencies, right?
Tell me more.
Because he's so self-sacrificial in a lot of ways. he's like, oh, I can't go live my dream because I have to work at the bank.
Yeah.
And I can't go on my honeymoon because I have to
work at the bank.
I have to work at the bank. That's all it is he has to work at the bank. But he just sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
And it's like the movie kind of pushes this message of if you just like destroy yourself and keep sacrificing for other people, then eventually that's going to pay off in a big way.
Yeah.
And like that definitely feeds like my like kind of savior complex, mm-hmm. where like that's kind of who like I want to be.
Yeah.
And I want to be like this community figurehead that just like everybody looks up to.
Yeah.
And like they're all just super thankful, like, oh, that's Trent. He saved the bank.
He saved the bank.
I want to be the bank saver. That's my dream. this movie is just my fantasy.
Yeah.
In every way.
Yeah, I think there was a big I definitely picked up on that of like, and even like when his brother comes back from war, you know, he can't go to war and he's like, oh, well, I'm going to support my brother. But you can tell there's like a part of him that his pride is hurt, that he's like, I don't get to be a war hero. You know, yeah. I have to work at the bank. Hey, banks are important, especially in that time and age. But I don't know. I thought he was kind of, I don't know. I like when his life started like spinning out of control, I kind of was like, I don't know. I sympathized a little bit, but also it was like, it's all right, dude. Like, it's not that terrible. Yeah, like,
he seemed like he overreacted a little.
Yeah,
bit.
It's like, I'm gonna go home and break all my stuff and yell at my kids. And it's like, and maybe, you know, I'm not a married guy. I don't have a family and I don't understand the stress of that. So maybe there is a stress of like that I don't understand. But I did feel like it was kind of like an overreaction. I mean, it still sells the point, but
yeah. Well, really, like his whole life is kind of weird because he's like, he kind of coerces himself into like falling in love with Mary in like a very weird way. He's like, oh, I'm just gonna like meander over to her house and ignore her and be kind of a jerk to her.
Yell at her.
Yeah. And then we're gonna kiss really weirdly. And then next thing you know, we're married.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. Especially like the like kissing that they do is so weird.
Dude, I know.
Like the way it's like kind of forceful.
Oh, it's like it's like he's attacking her.
Yeah. Not a fan. George, you're kind of weird.
Like George doesn't go into his drunken stupor before he decides to yeet himself off a bridge. But when he comes home to like kiss his child, he's just like, and I'm like, is George drunk already? George, no, just kiss. Don't eat people, George.
And he drunk drives too and gets in an accident.
Oh boy.
And he gets away with it.
Yeah. Oh man. 1930s, dude. What a time where it's like, hey, that tree's been up there for 100 years. Where are you going? Ah. Just leaves his car. Ah, you're drunk. Everybody's drunk. Everybody drinks and drives.
Yeah.
It's okay.
My sister was telling me about like this old guy she talked to. And apparently he would have like six-pack Sundays or like six-pack Sundays where he'd like go driving while having a six.
Yeah,
pack.
Just the booze cruise. That's what everybody did back then.
All right.
And then you do it nowadays and it's a big deal and you gotta go to jail. That sucks.
We live in a society.
We live in a society. Don't drink and drive though. It screws up your life. But you do get to find God afterwards.
Oh, great.
After the third
one. Oh, and George found God too. So it worked out.
Yeah. George's DUI incident helped him find God.
Wow, incredible.
Or a chubby angel that I wasn't sure what time period he was from.
Wouldn't that be wild if you just like screwed up your life and then like this angel comes and is like, hey, you're actually the most important person alive. Instead of facing the consequences for your actions, why don't I show you why you're so important and why everybody loves you?
Yeah. That was funny. He never really had to face any consequences for anything. Yeah. It was just like,
although he did like suffer the consequences of other people's actions.
Sure. But, you know, he also did some selfish stuff, and he never was like, hey, I'm sorry. He just comes back. Oh, there's a huge party, and George jumped off the bridge, but he's still here. And it's all good, man. Yeah. And money. There's a whole pile of money.
Yeah. Although that does feel so good. Like,
yeah.
when everybody shows up with the money.
Yeah.
It feels really nice. You're like,
it's nice.
You're like, he paid money out of his own pocket so that everybody else could be happy.
It's and really now, nice.
Now everybody's coming back and returning the favor. I think that's really what like I like about the movie is it's just like such a cathartic, like it's cathartic release and it's so happy.
Mm. Yeah. And that girl at the end, so gosh darn cute.
Violet? Is she
no!
at the end? The little
the child.
She's cute. She's cute in
not
like
the
an
bimbo, aw. That child who says every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's such a weird thing. Like they even make fun of it in the movie.
Yeah, where they're at the bar and the guy's like, "Hey, look! I bet a bunch of angels are getting wings." Bing, bing, bing. And I was like, "He's got a fair point." Yeah, like
it's kind of weird. Which apparently the movie's suggesting that is exactly what happened. But
yeah,
I mean, there's so many cashiers in the world. You'd have to think like there's a ton of angels getting their wings.
Well, there's a ton of dead people, too.
Are you saying that the dead people are like becoming angels? Is that what you're implying? Or what do you
Well, I think that's what the movie's implying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because like he's an angel second class, right? Which probably means he's dead, right? Died a while ago. Talks about his wife. He has that weird shirt he's wearing. So he's obviously from a different era. So he's a dead guy, right? Mm. And he's okay. Trying to ascend to the rank of first class angel man.
Oh, yeah. And I guess Joseph was kind of implied to be an angel.
Yeah.
And like Joseph was a real dude. So
can I just say, though, the start of that movie when it's just like lights and stuff, that gave me big old Book of Mormon cartoon vibes.
Oh, no.
Have I ever showed you the Book of Mormon cartoon?
Oh, you definitely have.
Okay. Well, to all our viewers out there, if you want a nice, another cathartic experience in a different way, there's like a 40-minute long like cartoon on YouTube about Mormonism, and it's all animated, but it's really old and really weird. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of good watch. Anyway, but that just gave me big old Book of Mormon vibes at the start.
I guess like there's like, I guess God kind of sounds like the narrator in those videos.
God just sounds like a regular white dude.
Oh, you know what I've been picking up though?
Yeah.
Is like there's certain common themes with like the best movies and like the best everything. So like one of them is it has like all of the best like pieces of media seem to have Christian influences. They all involve violence to and from police officers. There's more I've been thinking of, but those are like the big two that I'm seeing quite a bit of.
So you're saying there's a good like grand conspiracy?
Yeah. Basically, the big corporate media wants you to become a Christian and then be violent towards police officers.
I know who we can blame for this.
Who?
Big Idea Productions, a.k.a. the creators of VeggieTales.
Oh, good. It's all their fault.
They're trying to peddle their Jesus fruit propaganda.
And their anti-cop propaganda.
Their anti-cop propaganda. Oh, no. But I don't know, what was like a favorite moment or scene for you? Like besides the dance.
Besides the dance.
Was it the dance? Was that really the standout that made you walk away and say that was
the
good?
Standout moment's definitely, I think, the scene when everybody shows up with the money.
Yeah. That's a good one.
It's a big wholesome moment.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you faith in humanity.
Yeah.
But then there's the dancing. And I love that because I like to dance with pretty girls.
My standout scene was the poisoning.
The
attempted poisoning at the start.
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, I talked about that.
Yeah, you did. You did. That whole beginning.
Dude, I was not ready for that. That seemed like a very violent start to the movie. Yeah, it does not get nearly as violent.
Yeah, and
how'd they make that kid bleed out of his ear like that? Was that special effects?
It's crazy how technology works.
Dude. I bet since it was the 30s, they like just legit broke that kid's ear. They're just like, hey, do you want this job in showbiz? Yeah, okay, bam.
that was actually the same kid who grew up and played George. So they like waited.
Yeah.
And then he like grew up deaf because of the actual injury they did film.
That was another thing I liked about the movie was like, George in high school is just a 30-year-old man. They're like, hey, George, you're graduating high school. You're going all around the world. And he's like, yes, I am. And I'm like, that's a 30-year-old.
It's Mary. Mary's 18.
Yeah.
It's like, she's 18 years old, the perfect age. And I'm looking at her, she's like, she's older than me.
He's like, But Violet, she never aged.
You beautiful Violet.
Violet.
Your one true love.
I could fix her, okay? Here's the thing. Okay, I want to talk about that scene since you bring that up, because that was a good scene.
How are you going to fix this girl?
Okay, listen. George wants to go on a wonderful beatnik grand adventure into nature with this woman, Violet. However, he didn't do it right.
Okay.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because George is a creep. And he just barges into people and just kisses them like, rah, 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 and then just like grabs them and like, hey, let's go into the woods. Hey, Violet. Hey, Violet, you want to go into the woods and take our shoes off? Don't start with that. Get her in the car first and drive her up there and then say, hey, let's go for a walk. Hey, let's take our shoes off. She's already out there. It's, you know. It's already happening.
Yeah. You know, Joel? I want you to imagine all of our podcast listeners, just like those people on the street who were laughing at George, listening into his crazy rambling. That's what they're all doing right now.
They know you can't fix her. That's pretty much what this podcast is.
It's just all of our listeners laughing at you.
Yeah. Are all those actors dead?
Probably.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's always weird about those old movies. You're like, all these people are dead.
Something to think about.
Yeah, it's something I thought about. But
it's also kind of weird to think, like, the actor in the movie you watch, if it's like a more recent movie,
yeah,
they're out there kicking it. They're doing real things.
Yeah. Like in life in general.
They're just out there living their lives.
Yeah. No, it's pretty crazy. I don't know. I think it's always a trip to kind of watch movies from a later time. And I think this movie is becoming, and maybe I don't have any grounding to say this, but I think this movie is like becoming less and less the same kind of cultural icon that it is. Like, I think it's still an icon, but I think as like time is advancing and there's like separation between this, there's like new traditions, you know, where it's like,
people are watching Elf now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, you like mentioned it. Like Elf is kind of like the new standard, and like stuff like this, it's going to be kind of remembered, but I don't think people are going to like, it's not going to be the same tradition the way it had been. And I read somewhere that this gained a lot of, hold on, sorry.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
I just gurgled coffee. I'm sorry. So when this movie came out, it didn't get a really good reception, and it wasn't till it was circulating on like made for TV, or it wasn't till it was like circulating on TV that it got its big like exposure and became a tradition. And I think people aren't watching like the Hallmark Channel as much as the way they were probably like 30 years ago, right?
So yeah.
It's kind of weird to say, but I think stuff like this is going to kind of fade out of the American cultural consciousness as like time goes on.
That's definitely possible, especially with like streaming. Like I had to pay to watch this movie, which like if I'm
bro, we have it on DVD.
Oh, dang it. But if I'm like sitting around with my family, yeah, right? I'm not going to be like, "Hey, let's pay to watch It's a Wonderful Life."
Yeah.
Like that's a little harder to sell, I think.
So you said you watched this for the first time when you were 21. Did you have like any specific reason, or was it just like
Well, in college, every Monday night, I think, I had this friend that would like invite me over with like all her friends, and we'd have movie night, and we'd watch different movies. So we watched all the Star Wars movies, and then when Christmas rolled around, we watched this one.
How did they seem to perceive like fellows in our same age categories?
I think I was the only one who hadn't seen it yet, and they like all kind of saw it as a classic.
Oh, so it was kind of a tradition for them already.
What? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
who knows, man? Like
everybody's different. We live in like our own kind of little bubble.
Yeah, we do. I think that's true. I think we do live in a bubble, and like what's normal for us is not like we don't. Did you watch the Thanksgiving parade on TV?
Sure didn't.
I didn't either, but you know who did? Our producer did.
Steven.
Loser.
He sent us texts about it.
Yeah. Why would you do that? Corporate shill. But that's like a Thanksgiving tradition. And yeah, it's not ours.
We're just outside of the mainstream.
Yeah. We're just pretty cool.
We're special snowflakes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what I got out of it. I mean, it's a good watch. You know,
I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy my second viewing as much.
No, I didn't either.
I was kind of ready to be done with it by then.
I think this was one of those ones that I kind of got the gist of it the first time around. And
yeah, I think like once a year is fine.
Yeah, it being a Christmas movie, it's like I love The Muppets Christmas Carol. I've mentioned it many times already.
That's true.
But I don't want to watch The Muppets Christmas Carol multiple times outside of Christmas. Like, I want to watch it. Even watching it once every Christmas seems like a lot, you know? Like it's like, okay, we're watching this again. And so this was definitely one of those for me, too, where I was like, okay, I got it.
I mean, I think like the few years that I've had since I last watched it, it was like enough time for me to reset,
yeah,
and really enjoy my second viewing.
Yeah, for sure.
But not my third.
I mean, I'll watch the scenes with Violet again, but that's
we go,
dude. She's really hot,
and
she's really good looking.
Had my dream.
Had your dream falling more in a pool.
Yeah, no, that's part of it. If there's fun shenanigans, I'm all about that.
Trent's always looking to mess around.
What?
I didn't mean it like that. I meant just like shenanigans, fun shenanigans.
Okay.
So what I mean, like,
I am always looking for fun shenanigans.
You generally are.
Yes.
So what would you like rate this on our great cake of density scale?
On the density scale, it's like a one.
Nah. I think there's some concepts in there to tangle with.
Oh yeah. All right.
Life and death.
I'll bump it up to a two for you, Joel.
Okay. I'd put it somewhere around there.
Yeah. All right. So we just experienced one of the greatest works of art that mankind has to offer. How are you better because of it?
Okay. Well, I learned that you shouldn't hit trees with your car when you're having a crisis in your life.
Good job.
I learned that from this movie and nowhere else.
played your cards really well, Joel.
Holding them tight to the chest. Also, if you throw yourself off a bridge, you should probably hope that there is some good, well-doing cherub around to save you from the water.
You're learning valuable lessons.
Joel. Also, don't work at a bank.
you just have to work for a greedy bank.
Don't work for... Dude, they're all greedy.
That crotchety evil guy.
Yeah.
He had it going on.
I think he was the one with like the most relatable character in the entire movie. He was just on his grind. He wasn't doing anything wrong.
Sigma the male grind set.
He was just grinding. He was on that grind. But in reality, I don't know. I think if I can actually be real about it, I would say that this movie is a good reminder that you're not going to get any time back that you put in doing something, you know, like, yeah. Like George wasted his life, but he didn't waste it. You know, like he thought he wasted his life. And I think any time that you're thinking, man, I'm wasting time or I'm wasting my life, help people, you know, like that, do it with a good mindset, but help people, because that's always a benefit. You know, that's doing more than just serving yourself, you know? And I think that you need to do that and have goodwill towards men. I don't know. It's kind of cliche, but it's something good to be reminded of from the movie, you know? And it's always worth living. And, you know, there are great women out there named Violet who don't want to run in the grass with their shoes off. So that's what I got out of it. And yeah. What about you? What do you think from this whole debacle?
Like the ending is a very healthy experience for anyone.
Yeah.
Like I think there is truth in the fact that like if you help people out, like oftentimes they will turn around and help you out in a big way.
Yeah.
And like if you have people's backs, they'll turn around and help you out, which isn't always true.
Yeah.
But I think this movie presents a very like hopeful outlook of the world, and it's healthy to engage with that and to see the best in people.
Yeah.
And enjoy seeing other people turn around and return good favor for good favor.
Yeah.
And that feels really good and gives you hope for humanity.
Yeah.
And it's a healthy way to look at the world.
You know, at the end of the day, it's a good wholesome film, you know? And I honestly think, you know, despite all the mocking that we do, I do think that like it's good to have just some like old fashioned, like wholesome stuff in a movie, and it's not all like screwed up or anything, like delivers its clear message, gets you in that holiday season, and you know, yeah, I mean,
yeah. Cynicism can be healthy at times, but it's not always healthy, and it's good to have just a wholesome movie,
yeah,
about suicide and about drunk driving.
Yeah. Those were the big takeaways from this movie. So, Trent.
Yes.
With all the facts laid out on the table.
They're on the table.
They are on the table. Would you turn this into your Christmas tradition or don't add it into
I'll
the
watch
supplement?
It every once in a while with my family.
Yeah.
Not every year.
Okay.
Probably not.
That makes sense.
But I think every once in a while would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, when my family catches up to this episode, you know, you can tell me if you guys want to make this your Christmas tradition.
Make it your Christmas tradition. Make Trent watch this every Christmas.
just me
make
by
him
myself.
Watch it every month. Now, Trent, what did you learn from this viewing? Don't jump off the bridge and don't drink and drive. Okay, we're working.
My family's just going to make me give them a private podcast about the same movie every week.
Hey, Mom and Dad, this week I'm reviewing It's a Wonderful Life.
Again, please.
I don't even care about the dancing scene anymore. We got to find a movie for you that's all about that, like that dance scene, but fleshed out for an entire movie. I think that'd make you go nuts.
That would. If anybody knows of that movie,
Let us know.
Send us an email. What is it? SwineBeforePearlsPod? Yes, at gmail.com. Send us an email. Or you can find us. Where else can people find us? Steven, where can people find us?
I think we're on the internet somewhere.
We're not very active.
The link will be in the description.
The link will be in the description.
But yeah, put that down there. And also, let us know your Christmas traditions.
Oh, you know what? You can comment on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't. Also, subscribe on your favorite podcasting service.
Yeah. But yeah, let us know your Christmas traditions. Maybe there's something very interesting, and maybe we can learn more about this movie than we got from it. But I think we got a lot from it.
Yeah. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, and I learned that you can sled with a shovel. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Let's make that our next In the Field
episode. Yeah, let's try it. Seems like a good way to get hurt, but let's do it.
Yeah. We could lose hearing in an ear. I'll save you, Joel.
I don't know, dude. I'm not worried about the hearing. I'm worried about that big stick in between my legs as I go down a hill.
I already have tinnitus, so what's losing hearing in one ear? Yeah.
Yeah,
I have tinnitus. I'm not deaf.
Did your drunk boss hit you in the ear?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened when I was 7 years old.
Oh, man.
All right. So let's talk about the upcoming works of art that we are covering.
Mm.
So first of all, we have To Pimp a Butterfly.
It's an album.
And then we have, what's after that?
The Hunger Games.
I'm going to make the same joke we made last time. It's not Proust. Woo. It's not Proust.
We're not going to talk about chapels.
And then we have In the Field.
Yeah.
And then TBD. We're going to start our best of 2021, or at least things that got awarded in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be covering Nomadland.
Oh!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Can you tell who's in charge of the schedule?
Oh!
Can you tell who plans these episodes out? Can you tell who puts the work in?
I really like Nomadland.
Yes. All right. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I have.
Great.
But this will be good. I actually, that'll be a really cool one to talk about.
Yeah.
That's so stoked. Big stoke, big hype.
Get ready.
Get psyched.
We have more content coming down the pipeline.
We have lots of content.
It's all hype.
And
it's all beautiful.
Merry Christmas to all you guys, all your viewers out there, all four of you. Hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. And thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. It's a great Christmas
gift. Thank you for making this the only podcast you listen to. Thank you for making it your number one podcast on Spotify.
Your number one swine-related podcast.
That's true. We are the number one swine-related podcast of the two that we dig on.
And just remember this holiday season, if your life is spinning out of control at the bank, please do not get in your car and hit somebody's tree under the influence.
But do wait by the bridge for an angel to fall in and then save them.
That too. And Violet.
She's dead.
Come on, girl. Oh. I was trying not to think about that. We'll be dancing with our shoes off in spirit.
That's great. There's an infinite number of girls for me to dance with. So my dream. Okay. That sounded a little bad. But Joel's only hope is Violet. Anyway, that was kind of weird. I love you guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Swine Before Pearls podcast. Our executive producers have been Joel Kennicott, Trent Grauman, and Stephen Kennicott. Music is by Twizzled and used with permission. For more podcast information and for more episodes, please go to podcast.swinebeforepearls.com.